Well, it's International Day, as we know, and it's been a long and busy year with a lot of eventful stuff going on. I hope you're enjoying your day so far and embracing your disability or your life in general. And a woman that I know that does embrace her life in general is Kate Hood. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Liz. Great to be here.
Yeah, it is great to see you again. We've seen each other a bit this year because it's been a very busy artistic and creative year for you.
It has. It really has. It's been a wonderful year in many respects. Because I feel like the tide is turning in the performing arts industry. I feel like we've had genuinely disabled performers on stage at Belvoir Street in Sydney and Chris Van Ingen doing Barracuda. And I've recently done a stint on Neighbours as well, which is fantastic.
So, and we talked to you earlier before Neighbours went to air.
Yep.
You really enjoyed that, didn't you?
Oh, look, I loved it. And I tell you what I enjoyed most is that they were really fantastic. They paid for a carer to come in, my choice of person. I think of him more as a buddy than a carer, and he was there absolutely with me.
Yeah, which is great.
And he wrangled my handbag, you know, passed me the fork in the canteen, got my breakfast for me, did all those sorts of things, which meant that I was able to operate in exactly the same way as everybody else in the cast.
Which I imagine is everybody's just sitting around reading last minute lines and getting organised, getting makeup, hair, lines done, all that sort of stuff, not, you know, not having way more time than you with Chris's help to be prepared.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it runs like a machine, you know. The saying is hurry up and wait for television and film, and that's what you do. So you sit around and just wait for makeup to be ready for you and for the costume people to be ready for you and for your scene to come up. And then you've got to be absolutely on 150%.
Wow.
So, you know, there's no opportunity to kind of gear yourself up for it. You've just got to be ready. So that means if the allocated time for breakfast is 40 minutes, then you have to get your breakfast and eat it and be ready to go on to the next thing at the end of that 40-minute period. Whether they're ready for you or not, you've got to be ready for them. So it's, you know, it was a really great thing that they took into account the fact that I would need help, and they asked my agent what help I would need, and they provided it for me. So,
well, that's a success story. That's actually really good advertising for Channel 10, 11.
Absolutely.
You know,
that
they got their head around, you know, reasonable adjustment.
Absolutely.
Wheelchair facilities?
Ah, right. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I wasn't aware of your situation.
Oh, you didn't ask. But it's for the emphysema.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, can I offer you a drink? Tea, coffee?
What, no beer?
Certainly, of course. Anything you wish.
This survey out of the way, and then you can start doling out the freebie. I may be in a wheelchair, but I can still put away the tinnies.
Yeah, look, about that. It's not so much a survey we're doing as more a study on our target market.
Who, me? Oh, you're barking up the wrong tree there, kiddo. How could I afford motels on my pension?
Well, I do understand that you have other resources.
What do you know about me?
Look, I know that you receive a monthly payment from Brad Willis, something which was later taken care of by Therese Willis. Now, I'm sure it's all totally legitimate.
It's also none of your business.
Well, Therese is my rival, so let's just call it knowing your enemy.
Oh, so that's what this is all about. You want to grill me? You think I dog for one night in your lousy motel?
All I'm after is some information.
My family are not rats. And if that's all you want me for, you can take your free room and shove it.
Now, you're in the Snap Festival. Can you talk a bit about Ballarat and what's happening there over today and tomorrow?
Look, this is This is a really great thing. It's the SNAP Disability Arts Festival, which has been formed by Emma Barrons, who I did the SYNC Leadership Intensive with last year in Adelaide. And really out of doing that, she thought about forming this festival, applied for money for it. The Australia Council have funded it.
That's great.
And over really a week, I think it, you know, it began on the 30th of November. So it won't finish until the 5th of December. Annunciations is being done on the 4th of December at 6:30. So come along, everybody.
I'll be there, which will be great.
Oh, good on your list. That's great. And it's really exciting. Sarah Hubold is performing her show Cuckoo the Bird Girl, and Thomas Banks is performing his show I Am Thomas Banks. And there is money, there are people interested, there's advertising. I really, you know, I'm so proud to be a part of it. So proud.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
And it's the inaugural festival, so it will be run every year in Ballarat.
What's Emma's story? She's obviously based in Ballarat, is she?
Yeah, and look, she's the CEO of Carden Disability Services. I might have that wrong, actually, but Carden, anyway, she's the CEO of that company. And she's been working for many years, and she originated that organisation as well. So she's intensely involved with the community of Ballarat, and it's wonderful that she's contributing to what that community is seeing by bringing in people from Melbourne.
You know? Wow, that's fantastic.
Really is fantastic.
Do you have, like, any preference for what sort of work you would be doing at the moment? Like, what's your preference? Is it acting in TV? Is it theatre? I mean, last time we spoke, I thought you were saying theatre's where you love to be most.
Yeah.
But you also did film. So would you ever do or consider film again? It's pretty grueling.
Well, do you know, the exciting thing that's happening for me is that I feel like I'm stepping back into my acting life, my acting career, after 15 years of really being away from it. Apart from the work I've been doing within the disability arts sector. But within the mainstream sector, I really haven't been doing very much over that time. And just in 2016, with the advent of Annunciations, I was offered the development of a new play at the Malthouse Theatre. And that play is called Wing Attack Apocalypse, and it's by Emily Collier. And that will be programmed in 2018. So that's been a really amazing thing for me, to be working with people that I've known for many years, but I haven't really been a part of that industry. And so it feels great. It feels really wonderful. And I sort of have the expectation that people are going to be thinking of me, because the industry's changing. And that is a marvellous thing.
It is such good news.
Yeah.
It's wonderful news.
Yep.
Kate, you wrote some pieces for Annunciations, as well as you read, you know, it included works by other writers.
I did, notably Shakespeare and Joanna Murray-Smith as well. And so, yeah, but I did do quite a bit of writing for it, and it was a really lovely thing to see my work up there on stage and the words being said by other people.
Would feel pretty nice.
Yeah.
Do you like the writing process?
Do you know, it's a tough one, but I do like it.
Yeah.
I love writing for performance, because it's something I know. That's the thing that I know best, really. I don't think I'm such a good... I would never tackle a novel or something like that. But I think that I would love to write a good play about disability, and I've got one on the go at the moment, which I'm hoping to do a reading of with Raspberry Ripple in 2017. It's something I really want to do, actually, is play readings with Raspberry Ripple, because there's work out there that just isn't being seen and isn't being heard, and I really want to get it out there, and I really want to do the thing of putting disabled performers into plays that were written with able-bodied performers in mind, for able-bodied characters, actually,
yeah,
to just see what happens, see what appreciation the audience has for that. I think it could really bring a dimension. And I have a fantasy about doing a production of King Lear where Cordelia is played by a disabled actor. I think that would be amazing. Not me, I'm way too old, you know,
yeah.
But I just think it would be a marvellous thing because it would add dimension to the play in that the director would have to then talk to the actors about what their relationships are. Cordelia's got two able-bodied sisters, so how do they relate to her?
Yeah.
How does her father, King Lear, relate to her? You know, what is her relationship with the constituency of her father? How does it all work?
How does it all work, yeah.
It would be a fascinating thing to
work on. It would be great. Now, you've got a couple of readings here today.
I do.
I would really love to throw it over to you.
Okay.
For you to introduce and read your first reading and give it its context. Because as an audiobook listener, I love being read to.
Yep.
I adore it, and I think the audience will enjoy this too.
Okay, great. Let's give it a shot.
Okay. So this is 3CR. It's International Day for People with Disability. I'm Liz Wright, and I'm in the studio with Kate Hood.
Now, the first piece I want to read is called The Letter.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I'm going to say about it.
All right.
The character's name is Sonia. Oh, I love being up here. Life's full of surprises, isn't it? Here I am on the 17th floor of a Housing Commission shitbox, otherwise known as an estate. I hardly ever go out. Nobody knows I'm up here. And I've finally discovered it's home. Listen to that. Silence. Complete silence. And then there's that view. There's a lot to be said for a big sky view, even if it is just a Housing Commission view. And I get to see all the footy fans coming back from the MCG, snaking along Punt Road like a lot of ants with lights on their backs. And the helicopters checking out the drunks and crims on a Friday night. Much more entertaining than watching the telly, I can tell you. I sit at the window with the lights out and a drink. I love it. And no one comes here. Well, not no one. I mean, the postie comes from time to time when he's got something to deliver. Actually, he put a letter under my door last time he came up. He knows I don't check the letterbox downstairs. Can't reach the damn thing. I've been ignoring it for at least 3 weeks. Ah, what the hell? Ooh. Nice paper. Graham and Sonia Brooks are invited to a school reunion. St. Barnabas College, class of 78. They obviously don't know about Graham. His parole doesn't come up till next year, but they wouldn't know that, would they? Obviously, they don't know we're divorced either, or that I'm in a wheelchair. St. Barnabas College Hall, 18th of July, 5 p.m. Dinner will be served promptly at 6 p.m. Drinks provided. Please RSVP by July the 11th. Oh, my God! That's today. Jodie Sharp, 0417087792. All the questions. I feel sick just thinking about it. I don't know if I want to talk about all that. And nobody's going to be interested in me. It'll be full of people who've done something with their lives. The others won't bother going. And I can't risk anyone knowing where I live or how to get in contact with me because of the intervention order, and they'll all be standing up there and I'm sitting down here. Then again, I suppose I suppose I can just say Graham and I are divorced. Why not? I won't be the only one, I'm sure. It's just the wheelchair stuff I'll have to talk about. I could say I had a diving accident. Well, that'd do it. Oh, it'd be nice to go out, it really would. It'd be like old times and it'd be interesting to see everyone, you know? Find out how they turned out after all this time. I bet Graham's the one they really want to see. He was always so popular and handsome and funny. He was always in the centre of things. As teenagers, we'd go to a party and he'd end up sitting in the kitchen with everyone around him, hanging on to his every word, especially the girls. When he wanted to take me out, I couldn't believe it. I was so ordinary. Tracy Matthews' nose was completely out of joint. He had this way of entertaining everyone and then honing in, giving all of his attention to just one person. And one day that person was me. I remember it like it was yesterday. He'd been doing his thing in the kitchen as usual and I'd had to go to the loo and there was no towel in there. So I was looking for something to dry my hands with and there was nothing in the kitchen either. And I was holding my hands up and I had water running down to my elbows. And suddenly he was right there in front of me, looking at me with those beautiful sad clown eyes of his. It was like he could see into my soul. And I was waving my hands around, trying to get them dry, and I sort of couldn't stand him looking at me like that. So I went all silly and giggly, and I said something about Brad's mum having locked all the towels away from us irresponsible teenagers. And I was waving my hands around and prattling on. And I tried to get past him, but he just took both my wrists and held on to them till I was still. Oh, I was blushing so hard it felt like my face was going to self-combust and my heart was thumping away. Then he pulled his shirt out and wiped my hands on it, finger by finger, looking into my eyes the whole time. His shirt was warm where it had been against his body, which was an image I couldn't get out of my head. Do you know, that was the first time I'd ever even been touched by a boy. And it's still the sexiest thing that's ever happened to me. Huh. Then he put his arm around me and took me over to a two-seater in the corner and got the people that were on it to move so we could sit down. I could feel everyone's eyes on me, especially Tracy Matthews. She'd fancied him forever. I still remember the envy on her face. I was full up with, I felt like a superstar. And that was it. I was his. It's still a good memory in spite of it all. My parents hated him. They knew. I must be the only bride in Australia who didn't have sex on her wedding night. He pissed off to the pub and I cried myself to sleep. Thought it was all my fault, of course. Luckily, he fractured my spine low, so I can still use my hands. Oh, happy day. Cheers.
That is so deeply moving and terrible. That was beautiful reading, Kate.
Oh, thanks, Liz.
It's there needs to be a sequel or a prequel.
Well,
a sequel.
I think that that piece could be really extended and made into a play because it's about somebody's life. And for me, I mean, family violence or domestic violence is the major cause of death and disability in women between the ages of 18 and 45.
Yeah, it's a shocking statistic.
That's a real thing.
Yeah.
And it's happening right now. And nobody talks about it. You know, there is just a blank space, really, around domestic violence. I suppose less now that Rosie Batty's coming out, but we don't see stories about that on our stages and screens, and I think that we really should.
No, we don't. In fact, we have a whole other dialogue that goes on around women having to take the responsibility for the behaviour of men towards them instead of men and boys taking responsibility for that behaviour.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, women not only have to try to protect themselves, they have to try and change the behaviour of men.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's really unacceptable. And it's, you know, this is one of the many, many stories about difference and disability that can be seen on our stages and screens. And so I'm really passionate about getting these stories out there.
Do you find, when you write, is it a lonely pursuit?
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Very lonely.
And then do you go back and look at stuff and go, oh, God.
Well, sometimes I write one day, put it down, do something else, come back a few days later and read it and go, oh, well, that was just a load of crap, really, and start again. Sometimes I like it, but take certain things out. I tend to edit as I go. So
that's slow. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
it's I go back and edit, but I don't really do creative writing, but just writing that I have to do, and leave it and then go. I'm always kind of surprised when I go back and look at something and think, oh, that's all right. Yeah, that was all right in its first incarnation, but mostly I go back and edit crazily. Just think, wow, you really over-explained, or you know, you've really gone down a tangent here. But I don't think I could be a writer. I think it's too solitary.
Yeah, I think it probably is too. But I started writing because I didn't have anything to perform because I was no longer involved in my my chosen profession.
Yeah.
And so I had to sort of reinvent myself, and so I began to write monologue and perform it, and that's how it all came into being. And now I discover that, you know, I actually really enjoy it, and I have this drive to get new stories and new work out there.
Yeah.
So I might as well keep going. That's kind of my philosophy until somebody else picks up the reins and starts doing it better, you know.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see.
You've got another piece.
I do.
So before we lose you today and you head off into the, you know, the wild blue yonder.
Yes.
What's your next piece?
My next piece is called Dysfunctional Helping Disorder.
Oh.
And it's...
I've met people with that.
I think we all have met people with that. And so it's kind of about that. I'm going to do a bit of paper shuffling now.
All right.
Here we go. All righty. I'm a coffee addict. It's the one thing I look forward to every single day. And when I don't get to have one, well, you wouldn't want to know me, right? This is something I take very seriously. I take time out for this every day. I've got my favourite coffee shop where they know exactly how to make my style of coffee. And sometimes their food's also okay. I always sit in the same spot outside when it's warm, which is very comfortable. So this day, I'm there, about to drink the perfect coffee. Double shot skinny latte, strong but not bitter, with just the right amount of sugar and just the right amount of crema on top. The day is perfect. Not too hot, not too cold, light breeze, no horrible north wind. I am focused on this coffee. I mean, it is the high point of my day. I wait for exactly the right amount of time before I even attempt to pick it up. All us latte sippers know not to go there until it's cooled down a little, right? We know. So I've just picked it up, and I know I've got approximately 1 second to get it to my lips and drain the first mouthful to make the glass easier to hold, when I hear a woman's voice in my ear, just loud enough for me to lose my focus. Can I help you? she says, and puts her hand on my arm. This jogs my elbow. I lose hold of the glass on its way up to my mouth, and almost in slow motion, I see the coffee in free fall, as if in an ad for milk chocolate, dance out of the glass, shoot into the air, and aim for me. Not for the table or the tree or the bag on the floor. For me. It lands in my lap. There's a second where I see and appreciate the crema sitting right there. You know what I mean. Then it starts to hurt. I let out this roar of pain and see the woman's mortified face in front of mine. She clearly did not expect this to happen. I almost feel sorry for her. Clearly, the poor woman has dysfunctional helping disorder, and you've got to feel sorry for those people, right? Quick as a flash, she tips the glass of water over me. The relief is extraordinary. Then she starts dabbing at me, attempting to clean me up. I try to grab the napkin off her without success. She really knows how to keep hold of it, this woman. Anybody would think she'd done this before. No, 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 thank you, I say. That's all right, sweetheart, she says. Anything else I can do for you? No, I say, and she leaves. So I'm sitting there in the street, dripping with coffee and water, with coffee in my shoes, wondering what else the day will bring. The waitress rushes up to me. Oh, my God, she says, trying not to laugh. Is there anything, like, I can do? I think about it. After all, I still haven't had my coffee, right? Bring me a strong skinny latte, I say, and a raincoat.
Oh, yes, that helpful thing. I love it.
I love it too. And that actually did happen to me.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
I mean, I've kind of embroidered it a bit, but it did happen.
Yeah.
Which is astonishing, really, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, yeah, it is, but, you know, I think you've written about it. You've made me laugh.
Well, that's good. It made me laugh as well.
It's 3CR. I'm Liz Wright. I've been joined by Kate Hood. Kate, thank you so much for coming in today, and I look forward to seeing the show tomorrow in Ballarat.
Great. 6:30, Sunday, the 4th of December in Ballarat tomorrow night.
Beautiful. Okay, lovely. Thank you, Kate.
I'll see you there, Liz.
Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia, on the Kulin Nation. For more information and to find out how you can support 3CR, go to www.3cr.org.au.